I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio, and this is a Just the Two of Us episode of the Functional Nerds Podcast.
That's right. Yeah, I kind of like not introducing us on these Just the Two of Us.
I know, but I figured I'd flip it and change it up a little bit because we haven't done that before.
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm not criticizing.
You mean my stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, the stuff that I do. Yeah. I like saying it because I'm at the point where I really don't even want to say it during the regular episodes now because I realize how kind of robotic it is and everything.
Up,
yeah, maybe you and I could talk about what we can do instead. Because I do it because out of habit. Because if you notice, there was a couple of weeks where I kind of tried not to do it or not as much or not as scripted or what have you. Mm-hmm. And then I just fall back to it because it's just the habit of it and I don't know what else to say. But we'll have to figure something out.
Before you go too far, John. Before you go too far. It's Saturday.
It is.
We're recording.
It is.
We've already done three episodes. So we're both kind of a little gun shy and burned out.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Because, you know, we put ourselves out there. But then we do this Just the Two of Us episode because people like this as well. But it is Saturday. It's cheat day.
It is.
Have you picked your beer?
I didn't. And, you know, as this very moment we're recording, it's 2:30 in the afternoon my time. And I just looked out the window and it's snowing. And I did not do my cheat day really full shopping yet. Normally I do that on Thursday or Friday. So I didn't buy my beer yet. And so now it's snowing and I don't know how the roads are going to be. But just to show you how committed I am to this, like I live within walking distance of like supermarkets and now far walking distance, like not, you know, down the street. So it is very likely because my wife does not like me to drive in the snow and I try not to drive in the snow because I don't want her to worry. And you know, that's the whole thing. It is very likely that when we are done here, I will be walking to a supermarket or a liquor store and getting some beer. What I have been enjoying is I've been enjoying the Fat Tire by New Belgium. That's been one I've been enjoying lately.
That's interesting. We're moving offices at work. We're moving into a different building like 5 minutes away or something. But so they're cleaning out everything. And there's this table in the break room. And on the table is where people put shit that they don't want anymore and they hope someone else will take. But they also don't want to like throw it out because they think someone else will take it. And there was a 6-pack of Fat Tire.
And I'm like, it's good.
But I'm like, why would there be a 6-pack of Fat Tire? Why would someone put that on the table? And then I looked at it and it had all expired.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. And I think it takes kind of a while for beer to expire,
October,
too.
It was October dated. So yeah. I don't know. That's just weird. You mentioned something else, supermarkets. So can you buy alcohol in supermarkets there?
Some, not all of them.
Is it full? Is it the regular strength alcohol?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We have 3.2 here.
What does 3.2 mean?
3.2%.
Oh, that's as high as they can go in the supermarket.
Yeah, in the grocery stores. But now to be honest with you, I don't know if it passed or not, but they were trying to get it, that law changed so that the King Supers and Safeways and Albertsons and places can sell regular strength alcohol.
Yeah, it's only, I feel like that's only been in maybe the past 10 years that I've even seen that where you can buy alcohol in a supermarket. That's a fairly new thing in New Jersey. I feel like that was always like you had to be a liquor store with this specific kind of liquor license and you couldn't just pick it up in store. And it's not in all of them now. It's just in some, because I'm assuming there is a lot of licensing that has to go into it and it's a whole other business. But we have this one big shop right that we normally go to. I can't walk to that one. That one's a little further. But and they have a pretty big, pretty nice selection there. But even the smaller one that's right here is one called King's. They sell alcohol and it's a smaller selection and it's kind of expensive. Like you're better off going to a liquor store. You'd save a lot of money. But while you're in there, if you just want to pick up a bottle of wine or a 6-pack of beer or something, it's convenient in that way. But it's the same stuff. It's not, it's not less alcohol or anything. At least I don't think so. I should check.
You should.
It's not be awful. This whole time I've been fooling myself.
Well, and it's funny because it's one of the things that people who come to Colorado and then they're in the grocery store and they're getting their groceries and they see the alcohol and they're like, oh, I should grab a, you know, 12 pack or something. And they'll do that, like, especially if they're going to a party or something. And they don't realize that it's not regular strength beer. So, and there's nothing necessarily on the packaging that tells you that either until you, if you actually look at the bottle or the can at the alcohol content. And that's like, it's the same label. There's nothing different. And that's what pisses some people off, especially like my brother. My brother, when he came to Colorado, he got ridiculously angry when he found out that the beer in the store was exactly, it was marketed and labeled and packaged exactly the same, but had less alcohol content.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're sitting there like, I had five beers. I don't feel anything yet. And it's like, what the? Yeah, that's kind of weird. I remember when a few years ago when I played at Nerdtacular for the first time, it's in Salt Lake City.
Oh, good luck.
And yeah, and I remember just, I remember feeling like a little like nervous and a little weird going into it because of that. And it was fun. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, like some weird religious, it wasn't no,
they,
at
they
all.
Have, they have blue laws.
Yeah, they do. And they do have it where the beer, even in the bars is, you know, weaker.
Yeah.
So I know that's the case there, but it was fine. Like that was, it was totally like, I don't know. I was sort of like prepared for like all this weirdness and, it was totally fine. They do have weird blue laws here though, too, because even on the, I mean, I guess it depends where you are town by town, but in that one ShopRite that I was just mentioning, like, so you, it's just part of the regular store. It's like two big aisles that you can get all your liquor in, but they, you can't buy liquor after 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. even though the store is open till 10, mm-hmm. and you can't buy it on Sunday right. before 1 o'clock.
Right.
So after 9 o'clock and on that Sunday, they have like, you know, like a velvet rope around like the, pylons in front of the liquor. I was like, you can't buy it right now. And it's like, and that's an old blue law. Like, oh, you can't buy it on Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'm sure it's something like that there. And it's like, oh, can't we overturn this? Like, you know, like
you should be in church.
I think that's what it is. It's an old law that like that says that. So that's where it is. And a liquor store is just not going to open at that time, but the supermarket's going to be open, which you can't buy. So that is a weird blue law that's here that I'm sure is like in most places.
So before the holidays, before Christmas and Hanukkah and all that good stuff, and I had a game night and JT showed up and his boss had given him a bottle of beer. And it was 18% alcohol.
Whoa. I would be very I'd be curious to see what that tastes like. Cause I find the higher, especially in beer, I've tried a lot of different beers. I'm at the point now where I'm okay because I only drink beer once a week. I over the past like 2 or 3 years, I've tried to try something new every Saturday. And now I'm sort of circling back because I think I had a run where I tried a bunch and I'm just like, that's not very good. That's not very good. And I'm just like, well, I only get this once a week. So it's okay to go back to ones that I thought were good. Yeah. You know, try to remember that.
Well, you want
to
enjoy it. It's cheat day.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. It's the only day I can drink it. So I want to enjoy it, but I don't want to necessarily do the same thing every time either. But I have noticed that the taste changes significantly with the higher alcohol content and not in a good way. It's generally doesn't taste as good the higher you get. So I tend to be leery of anything that's I think the ones that I like best are in like that sort of 6 to 7% range. So that's much stronger than, you know, like your Budweiser, which is like 4 or 5%, I guess. Usually around 5% of a little less. But not so much where it tastes weird. So like the 6 to 7% is the ones that I like. You know, I can tolerate up to like 9%. And sometimes the heavier ones are good too. But also too, like I do like to enjoy it and I like to have a couple. And the thing that you could trick yourself with when you're dealing with those higher alcohol content ones is like, you know, you can have two. And you're like, that's fine. Cause I was drinking one that was like 9% a couple weeks back. And you know, I felt fine after two, and then I had a third one. That was the thing. I had a third one, And that like really did not make me feel good. And only three beers is no big deal for me. I'll have three beers and that's like a nice little buzz and I feel good. But when you have three beers of 9%, that last one, it really hits you.
Yeah. When you have three beers at 9%, you do Facebook Live and it's not good.
No.
I'm glad that you deleted that video because it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. I try to things to myself.
Well, I don't know if he drank that. I'm sure he drank it, but he didn't drink it that night because it was snowing and it would not have been good to drink that and then try to drive home to Monument.
Yeah.
I haven't heard what it tasted like or if he enjoyed it or anything. I should follow up with him and find out because I'm curious as well because 18%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some reality show that I watched on the plane. I think it was when we did do Capricorn, and I watched it on the way back, and it was some beer show. I don't know what channel it's on. It was like these two brothers that just went all weird places. And
talking about. Yeah.
I wish I knew the name of it. It was a big show for a while. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. But I think they themselves made their own beer, and they had some just, you know, because they had like the Guinness Book of World Record for highest alcohol content. So it was some ridiculous, like 50% or something. Like, I'm like, come on, like, what is
that? Isn't it absinthe?
I think when you have the beer that gets to a certain percentage, I think you start calling it barley wine.
Hmm.
I think technically over like a certain percentage, then it's called barley wine. And that kind of makes sense because wine is a much higher alcohol content. Even like lower alcohol content wines are generally like 12% but you drink less wine. That's the thing is that, you know, I drink wine during the week, but I have like, I actually measure it out so I don't overdo it. It's like, I measure like 150 milliliters. That's not even half a glass really. I mean, technically that's a glass, but like it only fills like half a wine glass. And that's 13%. So that's, if you drink a little bit, it's fine. So when you're drinking like a 9% beer, but you're drinking a bottle of it, it's like, it really comes up on you. So kids, be careful. Check your alcohol amounts on those.
You mentioned Capricorn and Joe was in Colorado. Mm-hmm. His job sometimes brings him up north. And I met him for dinner and I wore the Capricorn shirt that we got that year that has our names on the back of it to the dinner. And I also introduced him to grilled pineapple for the first time. He'd never had grilled pineapple, and it's one of the things that I just absolutely love.
But. Now, you mentioned Joe, and I know you have an ongoing thing with cannolis with Joe. I had a listener of the show, and I have to dig through my email to remember who it is. And I'm sorry if you're listening right now that I'm not remembering your name. I know who you are. We've had some back and forth, but I can't remember who it was that sent me this. He was very kind enough to he bought some of my music. He bought one of my albums, and for quite a bit of money. And I think he bought Laser Zombie Robot Love for like $20. And I emailed him. It's like, thank you. That's really generous of you. You didn't have to do that. And he was like, oh, you know, I'm a long time listener of the podcast and I never actually listened to your music, and I went and I'm like, this is great, so I bought it. And I also figured it's my way to support the podcast, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, you know, so you know, the next time you see Patrick, you know, buy him a beer, you know, so that way, you know, he gets some of that money too. And I'm like we'll do. Patrick doesn't drink beer though, so I will buy him a cannoli. So the next time that we are in the same city, I owe you a cannoli.
It's funny because we met Joe and I met up north, and it wasn't an Italian restaurant, so there was no cannoli. We were just kind of sitting there joking, and he was giving me shit and I was giving him shit. And I finally said, hey, you're lucky I didn't take you over to Federal Boulevard and make you eat a sausage cannoli with marinara sauce on it. And he's like, oh.
Now, wouldn't that be a stromboli at that point?
Like, you would think so, but no, they're using a cannoli. It's actually a cannoli. So cannoli is a different kind of pastry. They're using a cannoli pastry, but they stuff it with meat, either.
Okay.
Either like bolognese style, so they'll do ground beef that's been, you know, cooked and prepared in Italian style, or they'll do sausage, or they'll do some sort of mix, and then they put cheese and marinara sauce on it. It's disgusting.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
But now all this talk, I'm thinking, man, it's cheat day. I got to see if I can get a decent stromboli around here. Like, I haven't had one of those in ages. I love me a stromboli. That is some good stuff. Like meats and cheese and a pastry.
Well,
you're saying yours sounds gross, but a good yeah. stromboli.
No, stromboli's different. Yeah, strombolis are good. So it was interesting as well because we, you know, since we're talking about food, Joe and I did start talking about that. I was born in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he lives in Chicago. I don't know if he was born in Chicago or not. I need to ask him that. But one of the things that you kind of grew up in Chicago, you kind of knew was White Castle. And White Castle has sliders. And I never heard of anyone else having sliders. It was a White Castle thing. And now you see sliders everywhere. Like people are specifically calling their little hamburger sliders. And we were wondering if that's because did White Castle have a trademark on that they let go? Or did people just suddenly start realizing, hey, we can call these things sliders too. You know, sliders don't have to just be White Castle. It was one of those weird conversations you have, you know, when you meet someone that you haven't seen in person in a while, and you just kind of start going off on weird tangents. And that was something that I had been thinking about for a while, because now it's like Chili's. Come into Chili's for our sliders. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's not a slider.
I feel like that's been sort of a fad for a while now.
A few years,
where, yeah. For a while now, where it's, and you're right. You are correct. I wonder if White Castle ever had a trademark of it. They just never thought of trademarking it. Mm-hmm. And someone, you know, Chili's at one point figured out or whatever, was like, hey man, we call these sliders too. These guys don't have the trademark on it. Yeah. Let's do it. So yeah, that is really interesting. Yeah, they do have. I know White Castle is like a big deal because it's only in certain parts of the country. You can't get it everywhere, and we do have them in New Jersey and New York. You can get White Castle around here. And my dad called them. He grew up in the Bronx, and I guess in the Bronx when he was growing up, so this would have been like the '60s when he was a teenager. They used to call them belly bombers. That's what they called.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they would, you know, you would go out drinking,
yep,
and then you would go to White Castle, yep, and I guess just, you know, destroy your innards. I don't know why it would seem like a good idea to drink White Castle after you've had a lot of drink. But
it's definitely on the West Coast is Del Taco, right? You go to Del Taco after you've been drinking. But and in the South, so White Castle only goes so far, and then you get Crystals, and Crystals is the exact same thing. But they're, you know, and Crystal's whole thing is get a sack full. So you order a sack of burgers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing with White Castle. I know that was part of their marketing for a while, was get a sack of White Castle hamburger. Yeah, so I know that's a deal.
And in the South, people go, you don't go to Crystal's unless you're drunk.
That's kind of what White Castle is too, from what I can understand. But yeah. Well,
I had all of these romantic memories of White Castle because, you know, I had them as a kid, and then we moved to California, and in California they don't have White Castle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my family being in the restaurant business at the time, because, you know, my mom was in the restaurants, my dad had a restaurant on Cermak Road, and you know, food was kind of a big thing for us, and not having those foods that we were used to was an interesting thing. You know, I remember my brother coming home one day and saying, Mom, these California people, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. They put pineapple on pizza. You know, stuff like that. But so I had all these romantic ideas. And then I go back to Chicago after I graduated high school, and I'm visiting my grandmother. And my uncle is like, you know, is there anything we can do? Is there anything? And I'm like, oh, I would love White Castle. He goes, really? And I said, yeah, I just remember White Castle and how much I loved him as a kid and this and that. He's like, all right. And so he takes me to White Castle, and they were just disgusting. They were just so gross. And that's kind of why I think you have to be drunk to eat them.
Makes sense. Yeah, I haven't eaten fast food in at least a decade, probably longer than that. I just, even before I went on this health kick with this particular diet like 3 years ago, I just didn't eat. I just stopped eating fast food at one point. But does every once in a while think like, oh man, you know, if you go to Wendy's and you get like a cheeseburger. And I remember getting that as a kid, getting like the cheeseburger with bacon and the Frosty, which is basically just like, that was your drink.
Yep.
But it was ice cream that you drank with the spoon, but you ate it while you were, Yeah, that's good. So it reminds me of one of my students one time years ago. He had, it was Friday. So, you know, throughout the world, it's pizza day in school on Fridays. And it's not great pizza, but whatever. Kids are happy to get pizza on a Friday. And he had a slice of pizza in one hand. And he had an ice cream cone in the other because they get a snack, you know. And he was just like alternating, like taking a bite of his pizza and a lick of his ice cream. And it was, it made my day just because to see this kid, they're so happy. He's like, no, ice cream. It's just that visual of a kid with ice cream and pizza, like not thinking like, maybe I'll eat pizza first and then I'll get some ice cream. No, I'll just alternate. It's
good stuff. I've told stories before. I remember growing up because, you know, mom put me through Catholic school. So we didn't have a cafeteria. We didn't have any, it was always sack lunches. But St. Therese that I went to school at in Fresno had a partnership with the local Burger King, and the Burger King would come in and sell, you know, 25 cent hamburgers and I want to say 35 cent cheeseburgers once a week or sometimes once a month. And it was a fundraiser thing. And, you know, they apparently their cost on those is less than that. And so we were able to buy those, and then the school got a kickback on that, and that was like the coolest day. That was the coolest day because we were getting like a hot lunch. It was something different. It was Burger King. We were all excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Not to get political, but I think about this a lot with schools and the school lunches and stuff, because it's still overall pretty horrible, food that they serve from a nutritional point of view, even though all of the studies, and if you've watched Super Size Me and seen like what role like nutrition plays on kids being able to stay focused and everything throughout the day, it doesn't matter. I think it's an issue of money. And I think these companies that like, you know, sort of serve the lunches within a school, I think like schools get kickbacks, and no matter how much they want to talk about improving education, this is a step that they know will help. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to give up the money, or they're not going to spend the money to get higher quality food in there. Or, and it makes me sad. Yeah.
Or I'll absolutely go political on this. So here locally in Denver area, you have schools that are in, we'll say, lower economically. I don't know what the right word I want to use is, but essentially poor families are in some school districts and really rich families are in other school districts, and they all have to provide the same lunches. They're all actually on the same essentially menu, right? And curriculum. So all the schools have to serve this meal on this day, and all the schools have to serve this meal on this day. And one of the, I'm not a journalist, so I'm going based on my memory here, but there was a big story broke on one of the local news channels that basically went in and saw that the poor family school, they took pictures of the lunch. And it was like it was supposed to be like a chicken day with vegetables, and you were supposed to be green beans and carrots and all this kind of milk and blah, 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 blah. And they took a picture of that. And then they went to the rich school where all the better off people are and took a picture of that meal. Those kids got like a boneless, skinless chicken breast. They had fresh vegetables and that you could tell had been steamed. You know, everything. It was a very palatable looking plate. The poor school had chicken nuggets and like some sort of canned vegetable medley glop in a little thing. I mean, it was night and day, John. Mm-hmm. Night yeah. and day. Mm-hmm. And it just disgusted me, and it made me so angry to see that.
It makes a big difference. It really does. If they're getting all sugared up and no nutrition, and then they go back to class for the last two periods, and it's how can we expect them to contribute? But anyway, I'm getting into terms I probably shouldn't. So we were going to talk about.
We still have a little time. We can talk.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier about walking in the snow to the supermarket. A few weeks ago, I walked in the snow to the movies to see Rogue One because I don't know if I told you this. I don't think so. I don't think we've recorded an episode since Rogue One came out. So I was supposed to go see Rogue One at 9:45 a.m. Mm-hmm. on the Saturday of the weekend it was released. my friend and I had tickets. I was going to meet him, and I had a drive, about a 20-minute drive from here to where, 25 minutes or so. And we had a bad snow that morning, and all the reports were like dangerous, dangerous road conditions in the morning. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do, man? Like, I can't. And my wife was like, not going to be happy if I went out in that. And I was like, can't do it. I can't do it. I can't have her worry like that. And like, you know, so I called my friend and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to bail, man. I'm sorry. And he ended up going, and he said, risked his life, but you know, said it was worth it. But you know, so, you know, he was able to get a refund for my ticket. So that was cool. But locally, like into the movie theater that I can walk to, they have the reserve seats. And for the 1:30 show, there was like a lone ticket in the back of the theater. And I'm like, I'm going at one, because I said to my mom, I'm like, you know, I know you don't want me to drive, but I know it sounds crazy, but would you be okay if I walked to the movie theater in the snow? And she's like, I don't care. That's fine. You, as long as you're not driving, I don't care. And I'm like, sounds good. So like I walked in the snow,
uphill, barefoot,
you know, good 25 minute walk. And it was so worth it. It was so worth it. Oh, and, yeah. So anyway, so I did enjoy Rogue One. And at this point, by the time this airs, even to our patrons, the movie had already been out for a month. And if this is in the feed, it's probably going to be, you know, a good 6 to 8 weeks after the movie came out. But you said you had some specific things that you wanted to mention. I really enjoyed the film. I don't know what your overall feeling of it. I know you have some things you want to talk about with it, but what's your thoughts?
So first off, let's throw it out there. Spoilers. So yes. That's kind of your point to the whole
thing, yes,
about when we're talking about this. So there are spoilers that we have to yes, spoil some things in order to have any sort of discussion about Rogue One.
Although I suspect if you're listening to this show, this point, you've seen the movie.
I'm hoping.
So spoiler, yeah. I'm going to pause for a second. Yep. Everybody dies.
Yeah. Not everybody. And, red leader survived.
Oh, yeah.
Gold leader survived. And
well, it was, I know I want to let you get to your point, but so my friend that I went to the movies with, he's texting me as I'm waiting online, because now like his movie's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, yeah, it's great. And I'm like, oh, don't spoil anything for me. So we're like, and so as soon as I was done, we texted again, and my first text with him was like, everybody dies. He's like, I know, isn't it great? I'm like, it is great. And then it was while the credits were going on, I'm like, is there a post credit scene? He's like, no. He's like, good, because I have to go pee. So because I was waiting, because I didn't. I'm like, well, you know, Disney does own Star Wars too, and the Marvel's movies always have post credits, so maybe Star Wars will. But as soon as I found out it didn't, I got out of there and peed. But anyway. Rogue One.
So I got to see it also at a reserved theater. I had a little better seat, I think, than you did, because I was smack dab in the middle. And nice. it was a couple weeks after it had come out, so
okay. It
had died down a little bit, but not too much. And I was sort of forced to see it in 3D because that was all that was available. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. So you know, yeah. I enjoyed that. Let's see. I think I saw it in 3D. I want to say I saw it in 3D. Now I'm wondering if that's true or not. I saw a couple movies back to back. Maybe that wasn't the one I saw in 3D. Anyway, there are some cool Easter eggs in the movie.
Absolutely.
That I don't know. So you told me about Saw Gerrera.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'd listened to that episode that we recorded like 2 months ago or whatever. Yeah. I said I was watching those episodes. So, and you didn't seem like you know, like that was sort of news to you, mm-hmm, at the time.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that was that character from Clone Wars. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. They're bringing him back on Rebels.
Right. Yep.
So I haven't watched those episodes yet,
but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do a little bridge between Clone Wars and Rogue One and Rebels and kind of have that. As far as his character was concerned in the movie, I thought he was completely and utterly pointless.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
what
you
did
know,
he do?
It's true.
What
now,
did he
here's
do?
And you shouldn't have to do this. So I'm not going to make an argument that, you know, of the, because I think this is, you know, obviously everybody's whatever your individual experience is. Because you shouldn't. The movies should stand on their own. You shouldn't have to have, like, I talk a lot about the books and everything else and how it's become this big, you know, world that you can swim in and out of. I would say I've read Catalyst, the James Luceno book, before seeing Rogue One, and boy, do I think that helps you enjoy the movie a lot more. Now, you shouldn't have to read it,
right?
But to me, because Saw Gerrera is in that book, and you get a little bit of more background about him leading in. And to me, sort of Galen's story and Krennic. See, because to me, Krennic in the movie, I feel like he doesn't even get that much screen time. If you read Catalyst, it's all about Galen and Krennic. It is their relationship and how things build. And I felt it was great in the movie because I felt like I had all this backstory. But if you didn't get that backstory, I don't know how much of an impact characters Correct. Like Saw Gerrera yeah. and Krennic have.
Everything that Saw did was off screen.
Right. So, absolutely.
He trained her. Okay, great. Right. But we didn't see any of that.
Right.
You know, and so there was no point to him. There was no point to him being in the movie except as a MacGuffin, as, you know, she needs, yeah. as we talked, we have an episode with Max Gladstone where he's mm-hmm. talking about how the epic fantasies tend to be like travel logs because you're going mm-hmm. from, you have to go from point A to point B. And you know, you're kind of hitting these points along the road to get to whatever it is you're trying to do, defeat the Dark One, whatever it is. And they needed a reason for her to do something. They needed a reason for her to be involved with the Rebel Alliance. And so they picked on, well, you know, Saw. We have to get her to Saw. And so then she has to get to him. But there wasn't anything for him to do. And he did the tropey cliche kind of thing, which is, you know, it's like, huh, okay, the Empire's like gonna destroy my whole town and everything. You know what? I'm tired. I don't want to keep fighting. I know I'm this radicalized guy, and everybody's afraid of me. And I've built this, you know, this whole alliance of my own that's sort of separate, and we're a little bit more cutthroat, and we're the pirates. But you know what? I'm done. I don't need to run. I'm just going to stand here and die.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It's like, we really can't get him on the ship too? Is that right? Right?
Because they yeah, meet him later. So
right.
It was just...
Yeah, I was thinking at the time, like, yeah, they should have come up with something better there.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it mm-hmm. was a great movie. I thought it was... I was really happy that they went in the direction that they did, which is, you know, focusing on her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all these rumors. Oh, she's going to be a Jedi. Oh, she's going to be... Blah, blah, blah. No, there were no Jedi in this movie, which was also mm-hmm. really cool and awesome.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. it, you know, I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there are regular people in Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
And see how all of this stuff has affected them as well. And we got that in this movie, which was very awesome and very poignant.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love Jedi stuff. That's what makes the prequels so disappointing, because it's like, yeah, there's a bunch of Jedis running around and swinging lightsabers, which is my childhood dreams come true. But it's terrible the way that they're doing. So yeah, it was nice to see no Jedi. Although I guess you can make an argument that Donnie Yen is a Chirrut Enwe. I always say his name wrong. But the blind character, mm-hmm. you know, he's sort of, you know, he's
a temple guard.
He's a temple guard, yeah. And like, you know, looks like he probably had like. A little bit of force yeah. sensitive. Yeah, but he's not swinging a lightsaber. No, and
he was never a Jedi Knight.
He's in telekinesis yeah. or anything.
Right.
Because then he could have just made the switch fall. He didn't have to right. sacrifice
no,
himself.
He definitely had some force sensitivity, and we know that that's something that exists throughout the Star Wars universe. But yeah. No, he was definitely not a Jedi.
Yeah.
There are some other Easter eggs. As an example, we know the ghost was in the fleet. Mm-hmm. Did you know that there's also a scene where they call for General Hera?
I didn't notice it when I watched
Neither
it,
did
but I've read all the, you know, here are all the Easter eggs.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
so she's in it. Yeah. They at least call her out.
Yes, they call. So the rebel. So here's my feeling about Rogue One in terms, you know, I talk just about every episode about how I like the fact that everything now is canon and the TV shows matter and the books matter and the comics matter. And I think,
and my thing that I always point out to you was everything was canon before too. And everything right. mattered before too.
Right.
According to Lucas.
Right.
It's when Disney bought it that they decided, no, it's not.
Right. However, what I will say about Rogue One, which made me really, I was very surprised and very pleased with it, is I think Rogue One is the first movie that really rewards you for being a big fan who reads the books, who watches the TV shows. They, because even JJ, and I liked Force Awakens a lot too. You know, I think JJ, the impression that I always get with him in terms of tying things in with the books and the TV show is like, that's kind of beneath me, you know. Like, I mean, he never says that, but like, you always get the impression, like, I am a filmmaker.
I actually get that impression.
Really?
The exact opposite.
You think he wants to tie everything in with the TV show?
Well, we've talked about that before. That was what he pitched to Paramount for Star Trek, and when he couldn't get it, he switched to Star Wars.
Okay, well, that's fine. So I might be interpreting it the wrong way, but at least in terms of this movie, I feel like it really rewarded you because the Rebel stuff is the most obvious, you know. So you see the ghost, not only because I thought we were just going to get that one shot when like the fleet like approaches the Scarif and everything, but there's at least one other scene where you see like the ghost like taking out a couple ships and stuff. Like, because I was watching, I was like really like I was looking, and apparently you also see it, you know, parked when they're on Yavin. I didn't see it there. And apparently there's this, you see Chopper, the droid.
Yeah, Chopper is also in it. Yeah.
Somewhere. I missed Chopper completely. Yeah. So I haven't seen it a second time yet. So I missed Chopper and I missed the ghost being parked and I missed the General Syndulla, but that's why we watch these movies more than once. So I liked all that. I thought there were some nice, callbacks to, obviously the Clone Wars cartoon and the prequels and, the one thing I usually, because you know we love to pick nits, that's what we do as nerds. But the one thing I saw, which was like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. But they were talking about like, well, here's a major inconsistency. So you have Bail Organa, played by Jimmy Smits, looks exactly like he did in the end of Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. Yet Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor, and Alec Guinness.
They actually did give Jimmy Smits a little more gray.
Okay, all right.
I noticed that he did look older. They gave him more gray.
Yes, but if you look at, you know, 33-year-old Ewan McGregor and then 60-year-old Alec Guinness, it's like, that's a little, all right, whatever, you know, like we can't all be perfect, all right, everybody? It's, you know, but I'm like, oh, I guess you're right there.
The timeline doesn't quite work.
Yeah, but what were you going to do? There was no solution. Yeah. To me, that is really like, all right, we'll let that one go.
So one of the things that I kept wondering about, because in the trailers, so I managed to avoid spoilers before seeing, I didn't read a whole lot about Rogue One before going to see the movie. Mm-hmm. But I did watch the trailers, and one of the trailers, you know, hinted at the fact that Tarkin was going to be in it, and I kept wondering how they were going to do that and who they were going to get to do that. And they went in a direction that I completely did not expect whatsoever, which was they basically had an actor on set and they CGI'd Peter Cushing on top of him. I was not expecting that at all.
No.
That tripped me out. I mean, it was, I thought it was done really, really well, but it's interesting the controversy that it has now spawned.
I agree. It did not take me out at all. Obviously, I knew it was CGI right away because I know Peter Cushing is dead, and that's Peter Cushing the way he looked.
Well, Peter Cushing regenerated.
Right, exactly. So, but it's... you know, I thought it was well done. It didn't, because that's the argument, was that, you know, I thought the movie was great, but that took me right out of it. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That's your thing.
And maybe in 5 years, I'll look at that and be like, oh yeah. Because that technology does advance so quickly that, you know, when you see that stuff from a couple years ago, it doesn't look. Now the young Carrie Fisher.
That did not look as good.
I didn't think that looked as good either. That seemed a little waxy to me. And I wasn't expecting that one at all. I would have been fine with a recast actor, or maybe don't even show her face. Like maybe just show her from the side and use her voice. That, and I don't think it was bad. I didn't hate it that they did it. I thought it was a perfectly valid choice to do it. But Tarkin to bother me, and especially again, going back to the books in Catalyst, Tarkin is in Catalyst a lot. Mm-hmm. And that rivalry between Tarkin and Krennic is a major plot point in Catalyst. So when you do see Tarkin taking this, you know, project away from Krennic, it's like, oh yeah. And that's the thing. I kind of feel like the movie didn't give you enough Krennic on, obviously, because in Catalyst, you really get to see him as this sort of scheming, you know, conniving, working his way up the political ladder and playing all different sides of it. And, you know, and how he sort of runs into Tarkin and they become rivals within the Empire with, you know, trying to curry favor with Palpatine. And like the book is great for that. Like, so to me, even if you're someone that doesn't read a lot and doesn't read the Star Wars book, if you liked Rogue One, like go read Catalyst. It's worth it. And then go see Rogue One again. Cause it really takes, because even that opening scene with Galen and his wife Lyra and Jin as a kid, again, that's what the whole book is about, is their relationship and because Lyra doesn't, you know, she's on screen for, you know, 2 minutes and that's it. You know, she's a major character in the book. And so you feel more when, you know, when that character gets killed. So
this brings up an interesting point, John, because as you get into a more multimedia experience with some of these things, you're now treading a line.
Absolutely.
And for someone, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb, but I think it's a pretty thick limb, and say that the majority of the people who are going to go see a Star Wars movie aren't going to read a Star Wars book.
You are absolutely correct.
So you still have to put out a good, coherent product, is what I want to say, even though that it kind of kills me a little bit to say the word product, in the movie. And it has to be able to stand on its own. Mm-hmm. Without anyone ever having read any of the books.
I completely agree with you.
And there are some areas in the movie where they failed at that. And Saw Gerrera, I think, is a big one of those.
I agree. I think I enjoyed the movie more because I read all that material.
Which is great. But the person who doesn't has to enjoy it too. And I think that's happened because, I mean, it's been number one for a while now. And I think it just got moved out of number one as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I want to say that something, the Hidden Figures movie about the three women at NASA.
Right.
The African-American women at NASA, mm-hmm. That people just don't know about, which, by the way, I want to see that movie because I was like, holy crap, I didn't even know
this,
you know. But I think that one finally edged Rogue One out of the number one spot, but it's been there for 6, 7, 8 weeks now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's doing just fine.
It is. It's a Star Wars movie. But like we also talked about before, I didn't see the same buzz and excitement around this movie as I saw over The Force Awakens. You know, because it's not the continuation of that story. Mm-hmm. I also did see some people like complaining about it, like what a horror movie it was. And I'm like, I disagree with that. I don't think it was a horror movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you want out of a movie like this. See, to me, again, I think it rewards fans for like real diehards who consume the other media. Mm-hmm. I think it also gives you, I don't know. I think all those times when I was a kid and I wanted more Star Wars and wanted more Star Wars, I wanted more Star Wars like this.
Right.
Like I wanted more, you know, battles and I wanted more, you know, cause I don't know. I like, you think as a kid, like you play, you know, I remember it's so funny thinking back to when you're a kid. I just remember like the thing that we liked to play in my neighborhood was guns. We liked to, we didn't even call it like bat. We just called it guns. Mm-hmm. And we just had whatever like plastic guns we had. And we would like pretend it was, you know, war or Star Wars, even if it wasn't Star Wars. And it was just like, you know, whatever kind of war movies you saw. So I always loved like war movies and G.I. Joe and all that kind of stuff. And like, so the fact that it was like kind of more military and, you know, it was, I don't know. And it was dark, but I think even as a kid, I would have liked. Now, obviously, a lot of characters die in this movie. And
they were not afraid to kill characters.
And I really applaud that decision. Yeah, I think that was and I think it was the right call. I mean, I wouldn't have been mad if some people made it out. And I was surprised at it, though. Like, I knew not everyone was going to make it. Sure. You're like, you know, some people are not going to make it. But when, especially with Cassian Andor, when they
The spy?
He is. Yeah. Well, he's the Diego Luna.
The spy guy.
Yeah. So when
and some of the packaging, his code name is Fulcrum.
I know that's there. They did say that you know, that's probably going to be something that they'll end up doing in Rebels at one point, is that he'll end up being Fulcrum, because now that's changed a couple times on the show. And I have two thoughts on that. But the first is that when he falls and you think like, oh, he's dead. When he came back, I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess him and Jin are going to get off planet. And then when they went and killed everybody, I'm like, ooh, I did not see that come. Cause at one point you realize like, oh no, none of them are going to make it. They're not going to make it now. And when you realize that, they're like, oh my God, they've killed everybody. I can't believe they did that. Like, it works, and it was a brave choice. The other thing I was going to say with Rebels, and this was a story that was going around quite a bit the weeks after the movie came out, was because you see the ghost in that battle. And because we know that Rebels is going to be, it's finite. It's not going to go on forever. It's probably going to be, they're on season 3 now. It's probably going to be 5 seasons. That's what I keep hearing. That's the amount that I keep hearing. And the theory, and then Dave Filoni, who's the animation editor or head at Star Wars, didn't really debunk it and sort of said like, yeah, that's a way we can go, was that, you know, sort of the final season, final episodes of Rebels will be the Battle of Scarif.
Yep.
But from the point of view of, well, we know Hera's on the ship.
Yeah.
We know Hera's alive, and we know Chopper's around, and maybe it's just Hera and Chopper at that point. Who knows? Because chances are, as we mentioned before, Kanan and Ezra, I don't know. You wouldn't think they're going to be around, because Luke's supposed to be the only Jedi. So, maybe they'll find a way around that. But, it would be, I think that would be the perfect way to end Rebels, is to have it, the last episode arc, last story arc be Battle Scarif. What were they actually doing? Just have it be from their point of view the whole time.
So the last thing that I want to talk about briefly is the last scenes of the movie, which in my opinion reinforces the idea that Darth Vader is a scary motherfucker.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's almost like we're so far removed from the original trilogy at this point. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I don't know that people still, cause we've become cynical. We've grown older, even the kids today are more cynical and jaded, and it's not the same things to scare them anymore. And I almost want to say like Darth Vader is a caricature at this point for a lot of people. And that end scene with him, you just went, I flinched. Like, I jumped back a little bit. I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I think that's everybody's favorite scene. I've done that thing where I have watched the YouTube video, which is, somebody with their phone in the theater, filming that scene, and that's up on YouTube, and there's probably like 10 of those, and obviously it's a horrible video, but I've watched that a couple of times because I've seen it, because it just comes up because YouTube knows me and knows so it's all Winger videos and Star Wars stuff, so it's like that one came up and I'm like, oh, let's see that, and I'm like, oh, it's someone's phone, yeah, I'm gonna watch it anyway, because it's still cool. So yeah, it's good stuff. And I will mention too, just throw it back to the books again, Paulus Kemp wrote the Lords of the Sith book. And that's a great book because it's basically Vader and Palpatine stranded on a planet. And there is a lot of Vader being badass in that book. So if you like badass Vader, go read that Lords of the Sith book, because it is a lot of him doing, you know, kind of superhuman stuff and being scary about it. Cause you're like, oh yeah, he's very powerful. Like mm-hmm. he is a very powerful force user.
Oh yeah.
He is angry. Damn. And yeah, so you're like, oh yeah, he would do that. So, and Kemp has him, cause obviously it's a book. There's no budget constraints here. Kemp has him doing some crazy stuff and it's awesome. So, if you want to read about, you know, crazy Vader stuff, go read Lords of the Sith by Paulus Kemp. It's
and,
very
and supposedly when they talked about the Rogue One reshoots and stuff that they had to do, mm-hmm. All of that Vader stuff was added in those reshoots.
Yep. I just read that article myself just the
and
other day.
And I think it's worth it. It's well worth
absolutely.
It. It really brings it home and oh, it just gives you chills.
Yeah. What was I know there was a lot of talk about the reshoots and everything, but like, was anybody really worried about it? It's like, no, they're going to make the movie better. They're putting a lot more money into it.
No, the thing is, at least from what I've understood with people is, especially in Hollywood, when they do extensive reshoots like that, it's a trigger for most people mm-hmm. in that means that something happened, like it didn't test well, or like, you know, the studio didn't like it and they wanted some changes made, or they wanted a character's direction change, you know, something like that. Is so 9 times out of 10 when they say that they're going to do reshoots for something, people think that that's a negative thing because of something that happened.
Yeah.
So in this case, they wanted to redo the beginnings, I guess, a little bit and change up some stuff throughout here and there and kind of bolster some of the character stuff that they did. And then they also added Vader because I guess originally he wasn't in it.
Yeah. At least in that end scene, I know. Yeah. So that was a needed scene. That was like the highlight of the movie, I think, for most people. Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, that's a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Well, hope you enjoyed that. And if you're listening to this early, you're one of our patron backers, our Patreon backers. So thank you so much. We mm-hmm. really do appreciate it. It really means the world to us. And if this is hitting the feed and you're listening to it and you want to get early access to this or you just like the show, consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. All right, Patrick, anything you want to mention before we go?
Nope. I think that's it.
Alrighty. All right, everybody. Have a great one. We'll see you.
Thanks, Mo. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.